Amen, amen. First, giving all praises to God, to the officers and members of Ebenezer's, to our family and friends, to the sanctuary choir this morning. Amen. We're also grateful for all of those that have taken part in this worship service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, the Lord has been good to us and is worthy of our praise. This morning, I would like to call your attention to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And we would like to begin reading at verse 4. 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 4. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah who were before him. We read into your hearing 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would like to use as a subject this morning, case of snakeism. I have to confess. I have to come clean. I can't stand a snake. I have a bad case of snakeism. I dislike snakes. I dislove snakes. In fact, I can't stay in the room with a snake. And this morning, I'm just talking about the bronze kind, not even the two-legged kind. That's part two. That's case of snakeism, the two-legged kind. This is the bronze kind, the kind that poison us and kill our joy. I agree with Muhammad Ali. He once said that if 10,000 snakes was coming upon him and 1,000 didn't mean him no harm, should he close the door or allow all of them to come in hopes that the 1,000 would protect them? I agree with Muhammad Ali. I'm just close the door because I don't want to deal with no snakes. It began when I was a little boy. I remember in a time long ago when life was simple. No matter what the question, the answer was Jesus. It didn't matter what happened before, the answer was Jesus. And we'll be sitting in a little classroom. It'll be me, my brother, and my sister, and my mom was the teacher, and she would tell us stories from the Bible. And most of the stories went, wah, 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 Jesus. That's all I remember about it. Wah, 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 Jesus. But one particular day, my mom was telling a story about a couple that was living in a garden. And this couple, the woman spoke to a snake and sin came in and death and dying. And at the end, Jesus. And I held up my hand, and my brother and sister were trying to help me out. They kept telling me, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my sister, I think she said, oh, Lord, one time. But I knew whenever my mama called on me, exactly what I was going to say. And my mom turned to me and said, yes, Junior, what do you have? I said, Jesus. But the moral of the story is don't talk to snakes, right? And ever since that day, I can tell you I have never talked to snakes. But there is a time in scripture where a snake was a good guy. Good young snake. It was in Numbers chapter 21. You can check it out. The children of Israel were being disobedient. They were rebelling against Moses. They told Moses, we're sick of you and sick of your God. And God allowed snakes or serpents, vipers, into the camp. And the snakes were biting the people when they asked Moses to do something about this snake problem. And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put them on a stick and use this bronze serpent as a tool to get the people to lift up their eyes. The serpent was to be a tool to be used to get them to look up to the Lord. Many of the people looked up and was healed. Some was too stubborn to look up and died. But the moral of the story was look up to the Lord and live. And somebody after that day gathered that bronze serpent and kept up with it. Kept up with it from Moses through Joshua, through the judges, through Ruth, through Samson, through Samuel, even through King David, the building of the temple. Solomon built the temple and built a place for this bronze serpent, this good young snake, because it was a tool to be used to help people lift up their eyes unto the Lord. But somewhere along the line, that snake went bad. That good old snake went bad. What do you do when a good old snake turns bad? You have to do what Hezekiah did. You have to smash it. You see, somewhere between Solomon and Hezekiah, this tool became a trophy. It was it's some 800 years. It was the 800 year anniversary, the octocentennial anniversary of this bronze snake. It's been 800 years from Moses to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah had to destroy this good old snake because it went bad. You see, in the days of Hezekiah, was much like the days are now, filled with madness and confusion. There's life is seen to be turned all upside down. There's young people that have opportunity but don't have the motivation to go after it. We have problems in our cities, problems in our state, in our country, in our bodies, in our world. The days of Hezekiah was tough times because Hezekiah's father was Ahaz, and Ahaz had sold them out. Say Ahaz had allowed foreign gods into the country. Ahaz had allowed foreign worship into the country. And when Hezekiah became king, Hezekiah was fed up with the setup and decided he gonna do something about it. Hezekiah was a young man and a young king in the time of trouble, but yet he decided, I'm going to do that which is right. Even in times such as these, God is calling for us to do that which is right. You don't have to do that which is popular. You don't have to do that which going to get you fame or fortune, but God is still calling on us to do that which is right. Even when wrong has been done to you, even when it's wrong all around you, we still have to do that which is right. And so Hezekiah got the courage. And first the text says in chapter 18, verse 4, that he removed the high places. The high places were the places that the people had built where they could worship God wherever they wanted to. So you could put a high place in your backyard. You could put a high place on the corner. You could put a high place any and everywhere. So the people wouldn't have to go to the temple. They could just stop at the corner store and get all the religion that they needed. The high places was a place of convenience so that the people wouldn't have to go to the temple. And so Hezekiah removed the high places. But then the scripture says that he also broke the sacred pillars. The sacred pillars was built so that the people could worship foreign odd imported gods. They would go to these places and they would serve pagan religions. It was a way to hedge your bet. You know, I don't know if this Christianity thing gonna work out, so I'm gonna hedge my bet. I don't know if working hard and retirement gonna work out. I'm gonna hedge my bet by playing the lottery. I don't know if this man or this woman is gonna work out, so I'm gonna hedge my bet. Hezekiah tore down the high places and remove the sacred pillars because it allowed the people to compromise on God. But then thirdly, it says that he broke and he cut down the wooden images. The wooden images, they would go into the woods and just carve different faces into the trees. And there you could go and worship the fertility god. You could worship the goddess of fertility. If you wanted to be productive in your field, you go and worship the goddess of fertility in the bushes. And so that would somehow help you at home. It was a way of trying to force God by doing it physically yourself, and you'll cause God to do it in your life. If you're fruitful in the, that's all I'm going to say about this. This is a mixed audience. I'm trying to keep this G-rated. You go in the bushes. If you wanted your fields to be fruitful and multiply, you go into the bushes, into these images, and you practice there and hope that your field will bring crop. And Hezekiah tore all that down. He said, We ain't doing that. We're not having these high places. We're not having these sacred pillars. And we're not having these wooden images. But the last one was the hardest. The last one was the bronze serpent that Moses had made. This bronze serpent had been with the children of Israel for hundreds of years. It had a sacred connection to the past. It was connected to a historical figure, Moses. It was connected to an historical event when the serpents were biting the pillar. And yet, Hezekiah had to smash it. Why did he have to smash it? Because it was a tool to be used to get the people to look up, and it turned into a trophy for the people to admire. See, rather than recognizing the tool purpose to get them to lift up their eyes, the scripture says they began to burn incense to it. Rather than worshiping the God and acknowledging the God above them, they were beginning to worship the tool itself. And whenever a tool becomes a trophy, you have to smash it. Whenever the focus goes onto the created and off the creator, it has to be destroyed. When we get caught up in the things that are past and try to force it into the present, it will not work. When go to the fire of the altar and rather than get the flame, you come back with the ashes, it has to be destroyed. And so Hezekiah, he broke in pieces this sacred argument, this sacred relic, this bronze serpent that Moses had made. A good snake turned bad. And so this morning, I just want to warn you. I want to warn you that a snake is a snake. And no matter how good a snake have been, a snake will turn bad. A snake is a snake. And so I want to just share a quick story with you. And if you heard this story before, please don't give away my punchline. It was a young couple, recently got married, and the bride, the wife, she wanted to prepare her husband, her family's world famous pot roast. And so, like these young couples today, they both went shopping together and picked out a pot roast, and both of them came to the kitchen together and were preparing to fix the pot roast. And the wife cut off the ends, both ends, off the pot roast before she put it into the pan. And the husband knew, he was pinching pennies and watching every nickel, every dime. He said, oh, why you cut off the ends of that pot roast? She said, well, my mama always cut off the ends on the pot roast. He said, well, why did your mama cut off the ends on the pot roast? She said, I don't know. Let's ask her. So he called up his mother-in-law and said, mother-in-law, why do you cut off the ends on the pot roast? She said, I cut off the ends because Big Mama taught me to cut off the ends before you put it in the pot. He said, why did Big Mama cut off the ends? She said, I don't know. We're going to have to ask her. And so they called up Big Mama and called Big Mama. And Big Mama, why do you cut off the ends on your pot roast before you put it in the pot? She put it in the pan. She said, well, baby, I never had a pan big enough. When tools become trophies, when that which is practical becomes a protocol, when those things that God has given us for us to worship Him become the object of our worship, all you can do is smash it. Hezekiah had to smash the bronze serpent because it got in between the people and God. And brothers and sisters, we live in a time today. We live in a time filled with bronze serpents. We live in a time when bronze serpents are in our way. It's problematic when they get in the way of worship. When good old snakes turn bad, all you can do is smash it. And so, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to share with you from my bad case of snakeism to keep an eye on them snakes, because sooner or later, a snake will be a snake and it will poison you, even the bronze kind, even the historical kind, even the long age old kind. A snake is a snake, and it will always try to get between you and God. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to be like Hezekiah. Hezekiah did what was right in his age. Hezekiah did what was right when everybody else was doing what was wrong. When it was easy to do what's wrong, he did what was right. And then verse 5, it shares with us how he was able to do it. He said he trusted in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, today I want to say to you, I will trust in the Lord. Do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in prince. Do not put your trust in trinkets. Do not put your trust in tools or trophies. Do not put your trust in things. Put your trust in the Lord. And when you come across a brazen serpent, smash it, because it's standing in your way. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation, as the deacons and ushers come, we invite you now to make Jesus your choice. To extend, it was yours to accept or reject. May God bless you on this day. Amen.